we're going to go to our last item, long COVID. It is, of course, a wide range of debilitating symptoms that many of us may be familiar with listening to this programme. Some people endure it for months, even years after contracting the virus. Also, it can have a massive economic impact on economies. That much has been made clear today by a report out of Australia. It calculates that about a quarter of Australia's economic growth was wiped out in 2022. Rainu McIntyre is a professor of global biosecurity at the University of New South Wales and the senior author of this study. She's been speaking to my colleague Tim Franks.
What we first did was estimate the amount of COVID infection in 2022 in Australia. And we did that looking at serological surveys, which is tests in the blood in the population. And we were able to estimate for each age group what percentage had been infected by that stage. And then we took the infection data and projected the incidence of long COVID based on published data on long COVID. And then the disease data that we modelled were put into an economic model to estimate the impact of that long COVID burden on economic losses. And that was based on people either not being able to work as a result of long COVID or working at a reduced capacity because of long COVID.
I guess one of the things that's come out of this is lots of us may be aware of what long COVID is and probably know at least one person who unfortunately has been had to endure the miseries of living with long COVID. But it suggests that it's such a widespread and deep set phenomenon that it really comes at a significant cost to the entire country.
Yeah, I think what you need to understand from a population health point of view, a small percentage can have a significant impact. And a good way to think of it is think about coronary artery disease, which is the leading cause of death and illness in the world. In Australia, for example, 2% of people have coronary artery disease. Now, that's the leading cause of death and illness. So when we estimate long COVID, you know, and there are quite wide-ranging estimates, but the lower level estimates are in the same order of magnitude, you know, sort of 2 to 3%, but some estimates are up to 20%, you can see what a significant burden of disease it is. Long COVID's actually quite a heterogeneous condition. It's not just a single disease because the virus itself affects pretty much all the organs of the body, the heart, the lungs, the immune system, the brain, the kidneys, and any of those things can give you symptoms like fatigue, shortness of breath, and then you've got the brain fog and the cognitive impairment, which has been shown in multiple studies now. So it's much more heterogeneous.
Do you have anything in your research that suggests what we need to do, what the government needs to think about doing in order to try and mitigate the effects of long COVID?
Yes, you know, we do know quite a lot about long COVID. We've known about it since 2020. There's actually quite a large body of research on it. And one of the key factors may be persistence of the virus in a proportion of people after the infection has resolved. After the acute infection, your flu-like illness, in a proportion of people, the virus actually never goes away. It's still in your body. It's still triggering an immune response. And really, prevention of COVID itself is the most impactful thing that could be done to reduce the burden of long COVID. And that comes down to vaccination, antivirals, as well as non-pharmaceutical measures to mitigate transmission, and that is attention to safe indoor air. So there's a lot of both pharmaceutical and non-pharmaceutical measures that can reduce that risk of COVID.
A message of more prevention. Once again, it feels like an echo of 5 years ago, doesn't it? Ryan McIntyre there speaking to the BBC's Tim Franks.